So it's good to be here in the Lord's house with you. It's good to be online today. All right. Thank you, John. Welcome, everybody that's watching online, to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. And it's kind of a rainy day, but we needed the rain, so we thank the Lord for it. And I'm going to be teaching through 1 Peter, and it's going to take a while. I told you that I would go through the whole thing as an overview previously, and that's what we did. And now we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And it will be a challenge to you. It will be a challenge to you to see how steadfast you are and if you can handle the truth from God's Word as we have it. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. But I hope as we go through it, it better enlightens you to one of the most difficult doctrines in Scripture and one of the most misunderstood doctrines in Scripture and one of the most hated doctrines in Scriptures by some people. Because it is the doctrine of election. And Peter jumps right into it the very first thing. As he writes to these different churches. And he's writing to these different churches, and they're all under persecution. And he lists the different, their provinces that he mentions here. And most all the provinces that he mentions here are in what's known as Turkey today. And these are all churches, people that are churches in these provinces that he's writing to, that he's talking to. Many of them are undergoing severe persecution. They are outcasts from the world. And you'll realize that as he begins to speak to them. And when I say they are outcasts from the world, I don't mean that they are criminals or that they are doing wrong or that they are doing something they shouldn't be doing. Do you ever feel like you're in a world where you don't belong? You should. We should all, as born-again believers and a child of God, feel that way about the culture and the world and which we live today. We should all feel that way. Many times in Scripture, he says we are strangers in this world. But that word strangers can also be translated, we are aliens in this world. We are in this world, but this world is not our home. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Therefore, that makes us an alien in this world in which we live. And by being an alien in this world in which we live, many people will not understand or accept you because of what you believe and how you live. So he is writing to these different provinces and areas and churches because they're undergoing severe persecution because of what they believe and how they live. And he wants them to understand that although they may be rejected by the world, they have been chosen by God. And so he is writing both to comfort them and to inform them that they are chosen of God. Therefore, they probably won't be accepted as they are by the world. And so the persecution they're going through is because they've been chosen by God, but it will only be for a short time on this earth as strangers and aliens passing through. And their reward will be much greater than their persecution. And so he's writing to them to comfort them, to encourage them, and to bring them to this understanding. To this understanding. Well, we have, although we live in a world in which many times, I don't even like to watch the news most time anymore because of the way our world is today. And that would be a natural feeling as a true born-again believer and a child of God. It would be a natural feeling for you today, living in this world and culture in which we live, that you would feel out of place. You would feel that way. And there's a good reason for it. Because of what you believe to be true, what you have committed yourself to, and how you live your life. This is the world in which we live today. And so we're going to be looking at this very deeply. In fact, it will probably take us at least 3 sessions, if not 4 or more, to get through verse 1 and 2. This is what we're looking at as we get into this. Let's pray together first. Father, as we go into this, help us to have clarity of mind and heart to understand the true clarity of your word as a sovereign and almighty God. Help us not only to accept it, but to relish it and be thankful for it when we understand it. Father, we thank you that, and we understand that the very reason that we cannot lose our salvation is not because of anything we've done, but only because of what you've done. So we thank you, Father, for so great a salvation. We rejoice, we worship you, we thank you, we praise you, and we have come here today not just to learn, but we've come here today to worship. To worship an almighty God that has granted us the greatest gift in the world, and that is a salvation that is full, free, and forever by the grace of God. So go with us, guide us, and lead us as we go through this, and help our understanding as best you can. Though we have a finite mind, we serve an infinite God. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. By the way, I got a text this morning from Brother David. Jana Jeffords is home now from St. Louis. I got the text this morning that Jana Jeffords is in St. Louis. My sister-in-law, Nancy Gilbert, had surgery. They took out a foot of her colon, and she is now home. Recovering, but in a lot of pain. And so there's a lot of hurting folks. All right. And we need to remember all of them in our prayers. Okay. Here it is. Notice how he starts out. Because of this. To God's elect. To God's elect. Now we know right off who he's writing to. He's writing to the churches. He's writing to the churches in all these provinces. He calls them God's elect. He starts out that way for a very important reason, just what I told you. He wants them to be comforted in the reality that although they have been basically rejected by the world, they have been chosen by God. And so he starts out there and he says to them, to God's elect, strangers. Now, it helps me to understand that this word strangers could be translated as well aliens. Aliens in the world. Aliens in the world. That's why you feel like you're in a place where you don't belong. That's why you feel like, and this is true, to a very considerable rate, not only do you feel like you don't belong, you don't. And so when we feel that way, it is understandable. Now then, A.W. Pink died in 1952, but I'm going to read you some of the things that he said. By the way, I've got several of his books in my library. A.W. Pink said, "I am going to speak tonight on one of the most hated doctrines of the Bible, namely that of God's sovereign election. God's sovereign election is the truth most loathed and reviled by the majority of those claiming to be believers. Yet let it be plainly announced that salvation originated not in the will of man, but in the will of God. That were it not so, if it were not so, none would or could be saved. If it were not so, no one could or would ever be saved. If salvation had not originated in the will and the mind of God." That's the first thing we need to understand. Okay? He said, "Let it be plainly announced." I just read that. He goes on to say, "For as a result of the fall, man has lost all desire and will unto that which is good." I'm going to say that again. Read that again. "For as a result of the fall." Well, you say, what fall is he talking about? Well, when man fell in sin in the Garden of Eden. As a result of the fall, he says, "As a result of the fall, man has lost all desire and will unto that which is good, and that even the elect themselves have to be made willing, and loud will be the cries of indignation against such teaching." Well, that teaching is held true all through Scripture, and especially in the book of Romans, where it says, "There is none good, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It all said that we have altogether become worthless. It also says there's none that seek God. None that seek God. And so if we believe Scripture, what A.W. Pink has said is entirely right. Yet it goes against our feelings. If I tell you this, which is absolutely true, and you will more completely understand as we go through all this, God chose before the foundation of the earth who would be saved. There's something in you that doesn't like that. Right? Do you know what that is and why that is? What that is your flesh. My flesh doesn't like that. I agree with you. I understand that. I say there's something against me that doesn't like that statement. But I know it to be true. And I know God to be just. So there is a conflict within me. Isn't it you? To be honest, I mean, isn't it you? And there is some conflict within you? Of course there is. Because you're still in the flesh, and because we still battle every day that enemy called pride. No matter how truthful the word is, there is a part of us within us that says, "I must have had some part in this. I must have some responsibility. I must have had some choice in this," because our pride does not let us like that. That's who we are. We're still human beings, after all. We're still living in unredeemed flesh, after all. And in that unredeemed flesh, there is a part of us that is called pride that doesn't like the statement I just made to you. Would you agree with that? I agree with you. But what is the truth? And can we handle the truth? The truth should actually make us stronger. The truth should actually make us worship more. The truth should actually make us live more like Christ. The truth should actually make us even more excited about what God has done. On my way to church this morning, I had my radio set on. I don't listen to radio a lot of time, but this morning I had it set on. I'd been listening to a sports channel on NFL, and that was on there when I got in my Jeep and started over here this morning. Well, I changed it over. Well, I hit a black gospel station. A black gospel station. And I barely could stay on the road because I was so excited about what I was hearing. Because they were so excited about what they were singing about. And I thought in my heart, mind, and soul, you ought to be that excited too. Amen? And so I drove up over here, luckily run into nobody, hit no car, wound up between the lines, parked and got out. So what I'm going to teach you over the next 2, 3, 4 Sundays should actually be a blessing to you, although there is a part of you that won't like it. That's what I'm telling you. Okay? I guess we're ready then. You know, as I studied through this, my first thought was, why in the world did you tell them you were going to go verse by verse? You could have got yourself out of this if you just said, we're going to teach on 1 Peter. Okay. Let me read you some things. Goes on in A.W. Pink. Merit mongers will not allow the supremacy of the divine will and the impotency of the human will. Consequently, they who are the most bitter in denouncing election by the sovereign pleasure of God are the warmest in crying for the free will of fallen man. Furthermore, the doctrine of election, now listen, this is just what I talked to you about, seems repulsive to us. By our standards. It seems unfair that God should, out of all the world of human beings, choose some at his own discretion to be saved and not the rest. That's repulsive to us because of our humanness, because of our pride. But you understand, don't you, that the reason man so desperately wants to have a part is because in his fallenness, he wants to exercise his pride. Our first reaction to the true doctrine of election is that isn't fair. Right? I mean, are we being honest with each other? Okay. We would say, well, that isn't fair. Well, that's by your standard. Right? That's by my standard. Right? There's a part of us that feels that way. Isn't that true? Okay. There's a part of us that feels that way. So, we're talking about it doesn't feel right to us by our standards. Not by God's. Psalms 97 and 2 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And you say, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want righteousness and I want justice. Oh, no, you don't. No. God forbid you don't want justice. Because if all God gave was justice, no one would have ever been saved. Do you understand? Do you understand we're all guilty? Do you understand that? We don't want justice. And the righteousness we have didn't come from us. It came from God as a gift. Through his own son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55. This is a very important scripture. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. And it seems as though it's a contradiction, yet it is not. And by the time we get through with all this, you'll understand why. How does he say? Well, I'm going back to verse 6 because I want to read this coupled with it, and you'll see the contradiction that it seems, okay? He says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near. Agree with that, don't you? Okay. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Agree with that, don't you? Okay. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You like that, don't you? Okay. Now, look at verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh. What I thought ought to be my soul might not necessarily be so by God's thoughts. You agree with that? Shake your head anyway. It makes me feel better. All right. Neither are my ways or your ways my ways. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. All the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, well, that kind of puts it in a different perspective. I thought I was right. So I can think something might be unfair. Might not be. Because my ways are not like God's ways, and my thoughts are not as high as God's thoughts. Because I'm not God. And there's only one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He has chosen to reveal himself as a triune God. And he says, your ways aren't anything like mine. And I'm the one that's right. And your thoughts are not like my thoughts. And I'm the one that's omniscient. I know everything. So what right have you got to think that I'm unfair when your thoughts are not any way near my thoughts and your ways are nothing like my ways? Okay. All right, we'll go on from there. Oh, by the way, I've got lots of scriptures. But isn't that what you want? Okay. If I say these words to you, would you agree with them? I'm going to say, make three statements about salvation. Grace alone. You agree with that? Grace alone. Faith alone. You agree with that? Faith alone. Christ alone. Would you agree with that? Christ alone. Well, then we need to really understand what grace alone means. We really need to understand what grace alone means. And I got this from MacArthur. I've been studying for 2 weeks, getting ready for verse 1. Salvation is never a matter of justice. It is always a matter of grace, pure grace. You really don't want to try to figure this thing out from the standpoint of, is it fair? God did it, that makes it just and fair. God sets the standard for what is just. Oh, I don't know. No. You see, we go through so many things in life. And I mean, doesn't Satan tempt us to say, well, why me? Or why is this happening? Or why do I have to go through this? It don't seem what? Just. It don't seem just. As we go through these trials and tribulations here on earth, where we're aliens and we're strangers on the earth in which we live. Makes us feel that way, doesn't it? He says, God sets a standard for what is just. If you don't understand what God does, that doesn't mean He doesn't live up to your standard. That means your standard doesn't live up to His. Oh. Well, I don't much like that. Well, you know God could care less whether I like it or not. That's who He is. You see, that's why a lot of people don't really want to know who God really is. Now, our statement that of faith that Trad brought here, which was I thought was excellent, and Nate's carried it on, knowing God. All right, well, that's what we're doing. We're knowing God and then making Him known. He identifies his readers in 1 Peter. Let me go back there. In two ways. Notice what he says. To God's elect. All right? That's who we are. God's elect. Strangers in the world. So he identifies them in relation to their place on earth. How are we identified in relation to our place on earth? We're aliens and strangers here. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day, and they were asking about Kay, myself, and how they were doing and everything else. You see why it's going to take about 4 Sundays. And I said, well, you know we're just passing through. I said, this is not my home. This is not my home. And I said, when I get home, it's going to be totally different. So God identifies us first as aliens on earth. And that's what we are. Many times, though, we want to latch on and hold on. Let me tell you 2 problems we have. First, the flesh wants to hold on to the world. Secondly, and I know this to be true, the longer we've been a Christian, the more we want to draw in. The longer we've been a Christian, the more we draw in. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, it's just a simple thing. I'd rather be with you than with them. What about you? And the older I get, the more I want to be with you instead of them. You know why? Because I feel better. But God has commanded me to go out to where they are instead of just being in with you where I feel better. In other words, God wants me to get out of my comfort zone and share the gospel and be a living witness where I am as an alien on earth, because you don't know and I don't know who the elect are. He wants us to share the gospel with everyone that they might be saved. But it gets harder and harder the longer you're a Christian. Because I can go to Brother John or Lisa's house and sit there with them. I feel very at home. But if I go across the street to a neighbor's house and they're sitting there drinking beer and talking about something I don't want to hear, I don't feel as good. And yet, that's probably where I need to be. You know what I mean? Are you with me, Vern? That's an old saying, isn't it? These young folks wouldn't have any clue what I'm talking about. This is what we see. This is a paradox that we see when we look at what he's teaching about here in 1 Peter. And the first bells already ring. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, because you're already right there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as aliens, strangers, here in reverent fear. When he says here, he means on this earth. On this earth. So he addresses us as someone who is here now, but not for long. When you measure, and I think about this a lot because I'm 79 years old, okay? I'll be 80 in January, God willing. I'll either be 80 here or there, one or the other. But anyway, I realize more now. When I was 33, that's a good age to be, isn't it? 33, I didn't think a lot about it. I'm just passing through and I'm not going to be here very long. It seemed like a year lasts for 5 years now. You know what I mean? Huh? Now it seems like I come to church on Sunday, I go to the groceries, I help with the house, I do what I need to do, and I get up and it's Sunday again. Huh? Did you ever see anything like it? When I was a child in school, it seemed like a week lasted a month. And the older I get, the more I realize I'm just passing through. I'm a stranger, I'm an alien in this culture, on this earth, in this world in which I live. And God has given us a plan for each of us while we are here. And that's really important. That's really important. Second bell rang, didn't it? Well, you sure didn't get very far. But I hope that we've got a start that pricks your understanding and your desire to know more about what God really says. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we pray for the second service and Brother Nate, that you might anoint him with the Holy Spirit, that you might speak your words through him. That, Father, if there's anyone here today that is lost, that they might not only hear the gospel, but respond to the gospel, that they might repent of their sins and be drawn out of the darkness into the light and receive Christ as their personal Savior. We pray for Christians that they might be challenged, that they might be encouraged, that they might be uplifted, and Lord, that they may have joy, true joy in their heart because of what God has done for them in Christ Jesus. Bless the praise team, the leaders of our church, our Sunday school teachers. Lord, bless each and every one because they are so important, as is every member of the elect of Waldo Baptist Church. We love them. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.